What a glorious day. He has risen. What an awesome, awesome celebration we're going to take part in today. Yeah, before I get going, would you just join me in a prayer? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for what this day signifies, Heavenly Father, in our lives, Lord. We just ask that, Father, speak to us this morning. I pray that you open the ears and hearts of those that are here, Father. I pray that you bring your word forward, Father, and that you speak. It's might not even be what I say, Heavenly Father, but it is what your Holy Spirit wants to say to us, Lord. May you be honored. May you be glorified in all things, Lord. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, good morning, everyone. So, we've been on a series called Resurrection, and obviously, today is the day that Jesus has risen. You know, how many of you are glad that we do not serve somebody that's still in the grave? He lives and is reigns today, right? So what a glorious day it is. What an awesome worship this morning. I just think, man, those songs, the words of those songs, so significant about what Jesus did and what he accomplished, right? So I want to get into today. I'm going to share a little bit of scripture with you. I'm going to skip some scripture this morning because it was taking a little bit long on the first service. But you know, as we get into, I don't know if any of you have been kind of following the scriptures. There's some number of different devotionals you could do to kind of follow along the days of, you know, what it signifies and so on with Good Friday and everything else. But what a privilege, man, what Jesus Christ came to do for us. And, you know, I'm going to steal Ben's line from this morning, from the offering message, so he'll give it again, maybe great emphasis, but, you know, God gave up his son so that he would come on a cross to die for us. And, you know, Jesus, you know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he sweat blood because of the anxiety of what was about to happen to him. He fully knew where he was going and what he was going to do. But he submitted himself and accomplished what he came to accomplish. Wow, what an amazing, amazing thing that he has done for us. And, you know, it's not just that, I think, you know, we know what that signifies, the salvation and all those things, right? But, you know, that he came, and it's not just what we've seen in the physical. And I can tell you, not a lot of people put their fingers on what Jesus came to do. Not until afterwards when the Holy Spirit came to give them revelation and understanding of what that significance was of him dying on the cross. In Isaiah 53, it says, in 3 to 5, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought peace to us with with his wounds we are healed. So we have peace, and through his wounds we are healed. You know, there's a double portion there, right? One is when he died on the cross, that was for our salvation. But by his stripes, we are also healed. And there's a lot of significance behind all those things, and we'll get into that a little bit here today. But, you know, what a privilege. And, you know, I just want to share the lyrics of a song. Says, what a perfect sacrifice. I will spend the rest of my life to testify how deep and just how high is the love I found in Christ. Oh, what love, he has. I was listening to it this week, man, that really struck me. You know, I don't think, you know, the significance. But, you know, in one thing, in me saying all those things, well, before I get too far ahead of myself, I do want to just get into one part of the scripture. Obviously, you know, Jesus and the angel came and rolled the stone away, and they did not find him in the tomb where he was laid, because he had already risen. And like it said in the song this morning, he moved across eternity. And in fact, one part of the scripture says he ascended into the lower parts to take back the keys of Hades and hell. Amen. To take back what Adam lost in the very beginning, right? And, you know, those things are the things that, what we're going to be covering here today. Again, I'm going ahead here. But so I just want to share with you kind of what, when Jesus comes back, it kind of sums up some of the stuff that, you know, about what he came to do. In Luke 24, verse 44 to 49, so my PowerPoint people are going to have to be on it, because I'm going to be jumping around a bit on the scriptures that I laid out or whatever. Luke 24, 44 to 49. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance from forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem to you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." You know, This is when Jesus just comes back, and he just comes to reveal himself to the apostles. And he talks about the promise, and the promise that he's talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit that would be deposited in them. And, you know, he asked them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the power of this Holy power of the Holy Spirit to be empowered, to embolden, to walk out. And, you know, the one significant thing I will say is, you know, if we just look at salvation, they had received salvation because of what Jesus did for them on the cross. But what was the Holy Spirit for? First of all, the Holy Spirit is a sign and a seal for us that we are saved. So we are saved. There's a double portion, actually. One, when you receive Jesus as Lord, when we are saved, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the sign and seal that you, in the last day, you will come into the kingdom. But then there is the empowerment, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to be able to walk out what he called us to walk out. And this is what he is talking about, because as he goes through the word, he actually... he says, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive my Holy Spirit." So they already had received the Holy Spirit. But on a day of Pentecost, so I want you to notice the difference here. On a day of Pentecost, they were upstairs in a room, behind closed doors, locked, praying, and actually it says the place where they were praying, you know, was visited by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon that place. But you see a drastic difference between the apostles, between those two particular points. One, you know, they were behind closed doors locked. And the next moment when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and what's what I'm talking about is emboldened to proclaim what Jesus came to proclaim. Emboldened to claim what Jesus said, that we should preach salvation to all men. And this is what I want to talk about today, because I think the thing is, it's good that we're saved. And, you know, if I hope that, you know, we don't want to be here and just have fire insurance, right? Just be saved so that I can get into heaven. That's it. And so sometimes there's been much preaching done and where there's just fear of going to hell, and that fear drives us, which is good because that should drive us to want to be saved. But that is not the end. There's a deposit that God has in us, the Holy Spirit in us, and he wants to actually baptize us with power so that we can go out and proclaim what he has done. And you know, with boldness, they went out and proclaimed the gospel. And in the first church service, there was over 3,000 saved. You know, I think, you know, one of the things is, sometimes when we step out in faith, we sometimes are embarrassed, right? We don't know what's going to happen. And I'm just reminded of a quote that Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, you know, I've died 1,000 deaths. What was he talking about? He was talking about his own pride by stepping out in faith. And sometimes as we learn to walk with God, as we learn to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit, we learn to walk in a certain way, right? But, you know, I think the thing is, we should not just be hearers of the word, but we should be doers of the word. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we need to be spurred on to continue to walk forward in his power and in his might, right? But not just in his power and his might. His power and his might and his boldness, they will encourage us, they will strengthen us as we step forward, but we still have to be the ones that are stepping, right? We are still the ones that have to step forward and to actually walk out what he has called us to walk out. You know, and it is truly that way. Sometimes, you know, we have a fear in us, a fear of failing, a fear of how we look, a fear of what if I don't say the right thing? What if I don't do the right thing? What if this? What if that? All those fears close off the hope that we have inside of us. You know, and I must say, trust me, I've you know, We got to become abandoned to ourselves and not care about what other people think. And I can tell you there's a great fear of man that develops within us. And we have to be careful because this fear will grip us and will hold us from stepping out in faith. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, just being obnoxious to somebody and trying to argue with people about this and or about that. No. About sharing the love of God, about sharing the gospel, about sharing what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, right? I can tell you there's opportunities everywhere. There's opportunities every single day for us to step out in that faith. I can tell you I'm not anywhere on my notes at all, so we're going to have to backtrack here a bit. But, you know, I think that there's a significance, you know. The Israelites, The Jesus they were expecting is a Jesus that was going to come and liberate them from the Roman government. That was, again, going to bring them into a place of power and a place of reigning and ruling and reigning. But if you follow the Old Testament, you know that it's been tried and it did not work. Over and over and over and over again, when they started walking with God in a certain way, all of a sudden the next generation fell completely away, and it got worse and worse and worse. But they held, you know, the temple at high regard. That was the place of God. That was a place where God's presence resided. And you know, when Jesus died on the cross, it actually talks about it in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Oh, sorry. You have to bear with me here this morning. I'm talking about Mark 15, verse 37 to 38. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So that curtain, some say the curtain was like, it was a couple of feet thick. The curtain itself was torn in two. Why? Because God's presence, and it could never hold his presence. It was a representation of what God's presence would be in the temple, right? But God tore that curtain apart because he was no longer going to reside in a man-made building. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, now we're on the right verse. Or do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. God wanted to come and live with inside of man. And the power, so what does this mean? He says that in the last days, I will put my word in them, right? I will write my laws on their hearts. No longer will they hear somebody proclaiming the laws. The law is actually written within us, right? The Holy Spirit that we have in us is a guide that will guide us consistently and always in the right way, right? If we learn to listen. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So, it says you're not your own. So, we are no longer our own. So, when we make that commitment to God, we are no longer our own. We make a commitment. We are now his. But what does that mean? Does that just stop right there? I think, you know, the thing is, when I look around and, you know, I get into a state of restlessness because what I see, and I see that in myself as well, but I see people walking in more power, and I'm continuing to, and that's not, hear me correctly, it's not the point of walking in power, it's the point of walking in freedom and the power of God that he has put within us. The Holy Spirit is not in us just so that we feel comfortable, that we get the goosebumps, that we... He is supposed to be in us to spur us on to walk out and to actually walk out what we've been called to walk out. But we have to stir up these gifts inside of us. And so I'm just trying to see. I'm going to just skip over a whole bunch of stuff here. Yeah, we're going to go... So I'm going to skip a bit. So I'm going to go to a quote where Smith Wigglesworth. So Smith Wigglesworth says, there is nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by our limitations of unbelief. Let me repeat that again. There is nothing impossible with God. So I can tell you, there is nothing that is limiting God. But all the impossibility is within us when we measure God by our limitations of our unbelief. The way God wants to move in us, but you know, this is what I already touched on, the fears, the inabilities, the things in this life, the flesh, we have to look a certain way. We have to do a certain way. We have to be a certain way. We cannot say this because they might get offended. They might have this. They might have that. All those things need to be shredded, and we need to be fully with after God. I can tell you, man, living one day by the power of the Holy Spirit, it outdoes 1,000. Well, I wouldn't say 1,000. Maybe, you know, let's say 50, 100. When you have the presence of the Holy Spirit and you're walking in him, the thing that he's able to accomplish, the voice. You know, I just a few weeks ago, you know, one thing I will say, I'm not saying this to puff up myself because I can tell you I have many limitations, many things that, you know, I'm sitting back sometimes in fear of stepping forward. And trust me, I have missed many opportunities where I did not step forward because, is God going to be with me? Is he going to do this? Is what, you know, all these things. But I can tell you, you know, the privilege of being able to step forward. Just the other day, I was walking by a place, well, one of the coworkers, and God just said, I need you to go pray for him. And, you know, I went in and just prayed, and I prayed Psalm, the first part of Psalm 91 to him and so on, and I just spoke freedom over him. I won't go into all the detail, but my point is, so I just did that because I felt that's what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. And he came back, you know, about a week later, And, you know, he was in a place of wanting to actually be divorced with his wife. They were going one last counseling session and so on. And what he came back, he said, I don't know what it is. And he's not a believer. He's not a Christian. But he says, I don't know what it is, but when you prayed for me, it changed everything. He said, you know, I went to the counseling session, and my wife was different. She understood what I was saying. What am I saying? There is spiritual elements that we are fighting against. Now, was that my own power that did that? No. I allowed the Holy Spirit to flow through me. It is His power, His might. It's not my words. It's not my might. It's not my ability. It is His ability. I'm just being in submission to Him, and I'm allowing Him to push through me what He wants to get out to other people. Trust me, He'll use anybody that's willing to submit to Him, anybody that's willing to come to Him and say, use me. Yes, I know I'll be embarrassed. Yes, I know I'll have to step out in faith. Those things are the things that we have to overcome. Let me just emphasize this point. A lot of people go out and share, but they don't do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. They do it in their own flesh and their own power and their own ability. Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem unless I clothe you with power. If the disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus, how much more do you think we need the power of the Holy Spirit to actually work in our life so that we can have an impact in people? How much more do you think we need the power of the Holy Spirit? So, don't walk on your own ability and your own power and your own wisdom and sight. Sometimes we think so highly of our wisdom and understanding. I can tell you, God has brought me through many situations, and where I can't get my own mind to work the way it should work, to reach the information that I need reached. But you know what? When I depend on the helper that's within me, when I depend on the helper that He gave me, all of a sudden that information that I needed, or even information that I didn't even know I had in my mind, all of a sudden it's pouring out. Why? Because we have a helper that allows us to work beyond our own abilities. You know, so often, these abilities, right? And trust me, we have to get over ourselves. We have to get over our past. We have to get over. Jesus died for the complete forgiveness of your sins. He liberated you completely. You know, the one thing I always find funny, and trust me, I'm saying that I find that funny because it's funny because I've done it myself, is sometimes we think we have to help God along a little bit. Wow, you know, His power, what He did on the cross was just not enough. I need to do a little bit. If I just do this a little bit, if I just do this, if I do this for Him, then I will be worthy. Will I be worthy because of any of it? No. My works are like filthy rags before Him. My ability is a filthy rag before Him. The only hope that we have is because of Jesus' righteousness that is imputed onto us. And if we walk by His power, by His installment of the power that's within us, is rivers of flowing water. He has deposited rivers of flowing water inside of us. And those rivers want to flow out of us. They might flow out of our mouth. They might flow out of our hands. They might flow to different people. But His river wants to flow into people, wants to heal people, wants to set them free from the captive. He says, these signs will follow them, right? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will cast out demons, right? So all these things. Man, what an inheritance we have in Him. What an inheritance we have in Jesus Christ. You know, I think You know, there's a twisted thing that happens. And trust me, I walked in it for a period of time. There's a twisted thing that happens. When we see God as a harsh God, if we see a God that uses pain and hurt to punish us so that we become right, that is, trust me, there's a lot of people. I was there. I was that person that believed that Jesus, you know, if I got too close to God, if I got too close to him, well, you know, the people that get too close to him, he will sometimes maybe, you know, this is just a thought in my own mind. He might just kill somebody in your family. He might just make you sick so that you can learn more. This is how I believe that God would bring you to a greater ability in him. What a twisted lie. What a twisted lie. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, I've heard it said this way. A storm beating against a house does not make it stronger. If a storm comes against a house and beats it with rain and tornado, it does not make that house stronger. It does not reinforce the walls. It does not... You get what I'm saying, right? Our dependence on him. It is only Jesus... It is only what he did on the cross for us that actually will bring us to a place of freedom. We have to challenge our own unbelief in our own lives so that we can overcome this world. Jesus was very clear about that. We have to overcome. He says, I have overcome. He overcame this world. Todd Harris was here just a few weeks ago. And one thing that he said really struck me, he says, if we don't have a revelation of being sons, we have an orphan spirit. I thought about that, and I said, it says an orphan spirit is, biblical context, refers to the state of mind characterized by feelings of abandonment, rejection, loneliness, and a lack of belonging. This mindset can hinder a person from fully experiencing God's love and inheritance. Man, can I put myself in that particular place so often, over and over and over again? God is not like our earthly father. See, sometimes we compare God with our earthly father. We compare him with the failings of our earthly father, and we think, well, you know, sometimes God just, you know, just... Oh, yes, sometimes he, you know, he maybe hurts us that way so that he can teach us something. No, God has a greater ability. He has the power of the Holy Spirit within us to lead and guide us. You know, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you do something wrong and you're walking by the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit leave you alone? No, you kind of, you know, it's not that he says, is that the right thing to do? I honestly believe this is God chastising his... You know, you feel agony when you have done the smallest thing wrong, right? Your conscience won't let you go. Does this mean we've lost salvation? No, not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is the way God chastises his sons is by a still small voice. You know, I was thinking, you know how sometimes... And I just think this is a characteristic. I know there's different children, sometimes different temperaments. But you know your child that you just have to say a single word and they almost cry and they already correct themselves. You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit just said to me, you know, that is the characteristic of my children. As we walk with him, as we're humble before him, he just has to say a word and we are already in a place where we are repenting and walking away, right? We're staying sensitive to him. Just backing up here. We need to stay sensitive to him and who he... anyways, since I'm all over the place, I have no idea where any of my notes are. But anyways, the point was this. I just had a word. I've heard this on the other day, and I just really resonated with me. We don't become holy so that God will stay sensitive to us. We become holy so that we will stay sensitive towards God. Jesus paid the price on the cross for our salvation. And I cannot emphasize that enough. He paid the full price. If I slip just once, does that mean I'm out and I'm back in, I'm out and back in, I'm out? No. The Holy Spirit works with us, right? That's why you feel like when you do something wrong, you repent. What does repent mean? Repent doesn't just mean, you know, that we somehow have lost salvation and now we need to repent. No, repent means just turning away, right? We realize that what I just did there was wrong. Does that put my salvation in jeopardy? No. It means that I'm convicted. I'm in myself. I just turn back around and I say, Lord, yeah, that was stupid. Sorry. Are we okay after that? Yeah, we're okay. So we continue to work in holiness. And you know, one of the other elements of this whole thing is as we continue to walk more purely before Him, we stay more and more sensitive to Him. That's my point. Does it mean that He has, there's a greater ability? No, His power is available to everyone. But the problem is we need to work on our own unbelief. So work on our own ability so that we can more fully just just receive what He has already done. Jesus already accomplished all of it. He died on the cross for every person on this earth. Will every single person accept that salvation? No. Will every person accept healing and freedom by His stripes? No. We have to work on our own unbelief in order to accept these things from Him. He has already done it. See, I don't know, I think there's a great mind shift that needs to happen in our minds. See, one mind element says that if I just believe hard enough, then God will do that. Well, what if I were to say, He's already done it. He's already put it at your disposal. And He says, you just have to ask. You just have to receive. Salvation is something, not something that He has to work out one more time. Salvation is something that's already done. You just receive it. The receiving part of it is the critical element of it. And many people will miss the kingdom because they refuse to accept what Jesus has done for them on the cross. I just think there's an attitude. You know, you see this attitude in the three servants who... you know, one is given 10 talents, one is given 5 talents, and one is given 1 talent. They're all, He says, I will be gone for a period of time. When I come back, you know, He gives them these talents for them to do with what they need to do, invest, whatever, you know. So the one with the 10 talents goes out. He invests the money. The one with the 5, he invests the money. They both double it, and the one with the 1 talent buries it in the ground. And when the master comes back, the one with the 10 talents, he says, hey, I've doubled it. Great. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. He is the second one the same. The last one says, here's your 1 talent that you gave me. I knew you to be a hard man. See, only one of them seen the master as a hard man. And he received exactly what he thought the master was, a hard man. I think we have to work on our ability on how we see God. Because I can tell you, the enemy has set up many lies to completely immobilize us to absolutely zero because of our lack of understanding about who God is. If you don't see Him as a good God, somebody that's faithful, He was willing to give His Son on the cross to pay for every single sin that... So you know, we're supposed to somehow believe that a God that gave His own Son on the cross is that hard of a master that He would not... You get what I'm saying? The contrast between those two, I think many people are stuck in a place because they see God as a hard master. They see God that is vengeful, God that is somebody that is just looking for an excuse to just pounce on them and beat them to a pulp. I can tell you that is not who God is. I can tell you somebody that who that is. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is the God that we serve. That is the Father, the good Father, that does not give us a scorpion if we ask for an egg. You know, you get what I'm saying? Work on your view of God. Work on your view of who God says he is. Because God, he has commanded us to go out, but not just in the lack of power, but in power. But first, before we can walk out, before we can be, we need to ourselves work on our own unbelief. We need to receive from him the ability that we can have to walk out, to actually walk in power in his great might, right? It says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Did you catch that? I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is who we are now in Christ. If we accept him as Lord and Savior, we've been crucified with him. We have an ability in us. By faith, we live that life out, right? And it's not just, there's a greater emphasis behind it because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the power and ability to walk it out. You know, and I want to emphasize that there's a power and ability for us to walk in power in this life and freedom from the enemy's schemes. He has overcome. It's not that I have to defeat the enemy again. He has defeated him already. The enemy, when he sees us standing in our authority, he backs off immediately. Sometimes he'll test you to see if you actually know your authority. And if he sees, he's not sure. Okay, boom. And he's able to sometimes comes against us, right? But by our word, we can cast him out, right? Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, before I call, I will answer. No. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. I just think this speaks so much of God that he's eager to see us grow in the ability and power that he has called us to grow in, right? The inheritance that we have received. What Jesus did on the cross is not just that he did for our sins, but for our empowerment to walk out this life. So, So I hope you're encouraged this morning. I know somebody needed to hear that. So praise be to him. So join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for your ability. We thank you for your presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you empower us to do what you have called us to do. You don't just call us to do something, but you empower us to do it. We just have to be faithful to receive it from you, Lord. So we just come before you this morning. Just help us, Father. Help us to see as our unbelief towards you. That to see you as a good Father, as the good shepherd, as the one that wants to see us prosper, the one that wants to see us healthy and wants to see us whole. The one that wants to see us to thrive in this life and to testify to others of your salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you for who you are. I just pray, help us to see our unbelief. Help us to see where those things are in our hearts and minds, where we've set things up that are not of you, where we've set up images of you that is not you. It's a different image. It's a different God. Help us to tear those things down in our lives, Heavenly Father. We just submit those things to you right now, Lord. We ask that you tear them down, tear them out of our hearts and our minds, Father, that we are able to walk in freedom, to be able to see you for who you truly are, a God that loves us, a God that gave his Son for us, a God that held nothing back to purchase us. Praise be to you, Father. We glorify you, Lord, in all that you have done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep your eyes closed. I just want to just talk to the person that's out here this today that maybe hasn't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I just want to give you an opportunity. If today something I said spoke to you and you want to receive him, well, he says, and he gives us, in his word, he says, ask and you shall receive. So let me lead you in a prayer right now. Just repeat after me. God, please forgive me for all I have done wrong. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. From now on, I am following you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can have the power to change for the rest of my life. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed. I just want to encourage you. Is there anybody that said that prayer here this morning? If you did, I just ask you to put up your hand. So let me see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. For those that said that prayer, I would just encourage you to go to our connections desk. We have a gift for you. This gift will show you your next step as a believer. Thank you this morning.